If you are a lover of mysteries, murder mysteries, detective fiction, crime fiction, you ought to check out CBC Books website right now, cbc.ca/books, and go to the Canada Writes part of the page, because during the whole month of May, they are celebrating murder, mayhem, and mystery. There are contests on there. There's a contest where you are invited to write the first page, a compelling first page of a mystery novel. There's a Louise Penny will be there, author Louise Penny, doing a writing kind of workshop online. Excerpts from various books, all kinds of interviews. It's all on the website at cbc.ca/books. And two of the authors you'll find featured on the site are Roy Innes and Darren Collier, both from British Columbia. Roy has written a number of mysteries. His latest is Murder in the Chilcotin. And Darren Collier is about to publish her very first novel, Confined Space, which won the Arthur Ellis Award for an unpublished work. It'll be out in June. I reached the both of them and started our conversation by asking what drew them to writing mysteries in the first place.
I've read just from the Hardy Boys up, just like a lot of people, and I enjoy puzzles. I do crosswords every day and this sort of thing, and mysteries are kind of a crossword thing. I love a good plot and red herrings here and there and the finale, you know, kind of old-fashioned stuff.
Darren, what drew you to writing mysteries?
Well, it was Nancy Drew, so it's same as Roy with those childhood stories, and I remember very clearly finishing the first Nancy Drew book that I ever read. I was 7 years old, and I had this very clear feeling that I wanted to create that same experience for other people, but I didn't know at the time that that was called being an author. And that feeling really stuck with me. But it really took me a long time to get up. It really was the courage to put my time in and learn to be a writer. There's really not, I find a lot of, encouragement out in the outside world to pursue a career like that. They, you know, people worry that you're going to, I don't know, end up drunk and penniless and on the street somewhere if you give in to this creative urge.
I think it's intriguing that both of you mentioned Nancy Drew, the Hardy Boys, those really early years of reading and those mysteries as real, I guess, inspirations and sort of feeling reading those that's something that you just love, those stories. What is it, do you think, and there's so many things to answer this, I guess, but what is it that makes a really good mystery? What is it that is one of those, makes it one of those books that makes you stay up way past when you should, turning the pages? Roy, what do you think about that?
Oh, it's the what's going to happen next that keeps you going. You identify with a number of things. One, of course, is the setting interests people and this sort of thing, but it's the character. If you can get your character across early on and people then jump into that person, and then they start getting in their crises and they're trying to solve this, that, and the other sort of thing that's going on, and you just, it's what's going to happen next, what's going to happen next, and that's so important in the writing. I mean, great long passages of describing scenery and things like this just don't, in my opinion, work in mystery novels. You just have to have that. I gotta finish it. What's going to happen?
So it's something about the personality of the character that you get involved with.
I think the characters get you started, and then if you're like me, you really the plot gets to you. And partake of the solution yourself, you think.
Yes.
You know, the thrill of saying, oh gosh, I'll bet you the butler did it or whatever, and it keeps you going.
I think that's the piece that really keeps me going, is the resolution.
Mm-hmm.
And the feeling partway through the book of how in the world is this going to get sorted out, because, you know, the author has created an impossible situation. And so I think it goes back to, for me, to that puzzle that Roy was mentioning early on, and how is this going to be resolved. And I think part of what's so tantalizing for me, and maybe for other readers as well, is that, you know, our lives are so chaotic. And so to have that moment in, you know, that experience of several hours of a world where everything's chaotic and then everything comes to a nice, tidy resolution, there's something very satisfying in that.
I quite agree. That's the essence of the, you know, the classical mystery. It's something the writer must do, too. And the satisfactory resolution at the end, that's another fun one.
Do both of you plot out ahead of time? Do you know exactly who done it and how it's all going to resolve?
I know to a certain point, I like to be surprised as well. I think that really creates some tension in my book. If I don't know what's happening, then I'm not, you know, I'm not matter of fact about writing it. I'm excited when I'm writing it. So I tend to know who did it, but I don't always know how or why. And if I keep that mystery for myself, I think it really adds to my writing.
Oh, no, I quite agree. I don't work with a plan, you know, from start to finish either, as many authors do. They do an outline and then just work to that outline. I start off with setting, first of all. Where am I going to put this? And I use my own life. I mean, I've lived long enough now that I have a lot to draw on.
So you've got the Monashies, the Chilcotin, and Vancouver in
yeah,
the three
Chilcotin,
so far.
For yeah. instance, I go up with a group hunting every year, or at least getting all together and going up way up into the Chilcotin area. I love it up there, and you know, sitting waiting for the moose to come or whatever your plots are going through your mind. And this sort of thing, and the scenery, the people, whatever. So I decide where it's going to be first. And my characters are sort of already, you know, Inspector Coswell, they're already there. So I then put myself, and I find the more I write, the more I can do this. I put myself into their lives, and I'm watching. They're going here, and I must get them to go up to this ranch that I saw. And then I must think of a scene that forces them to be there, and what happens when they're there. And it's funny, it all starts sort of moving along at that point. And I too very often don't know you know, who the killer is or how I'm going to end this thing right at the, well, I get the killer fairly early on, but how I'm going to end this, very often I don't know till I'm sort of half, three quarters of the way through, you know, 40,000, 50,000 words.
Huh. Have you ever had to make a big change when something you thought was going to work didn't work at all?
Oh, yes, indeed. And that's where the editor comes in. I remember one where the very first one where a knife was a vital part of this whole story. And then later on, well on into the book, one of the editors suggested that I do away with one particular chapter or section that he thought wasn't really contributing to the book. So I indeed did that. And then I forgot back about this knife.
Oh, no.
Now, it turned out it didn't make all that big a difference to the book. I had other conclusions. But you've got to watch those, go all the way back through the book and make sure everything ties up. Dyed-in-the-wool mystery readers, and they're usually very frank about it, too, will pick up any little error you make. Take great delight in doing that, in fact.
Oh, and it's so tricky at that point when you've made one small change, and then you need to just go through every chapter with that change in mind. And the further you get along in the editing process, the more complex those tiny changes get. I know that feeling exactly.
Yes, that's right. There is, in one of my scenes, I had this chap shoot somebody with a 30-30, and I mentioned that he had slammed the clip into the thing and fired off the shots and this sort of thing. And the book was published, and at my launch, one of my gun experts came over, and he said, "Roy," he said, "there is no clip in a 30-30. It's a lever-action gun."
Oh, I veered away from guns for exactly that reason. I know nothing about guns. So there's one rifle in confined space, but other than that, all of the weapons are... Well, this book is set in a brewery, so all the weapons are brewery processes and chemicals and things that you would find in a brewery.
But you know breweries, do you?
I do.
Good. Now, for people who are listening who dream of writing a mystery novel, what would be your best piece of advice, Roy?
One of the tough things after you've been doing some writing or whatever is to sit down and discipline yourself to writing. A novel is, I quite agree, a novel is hard work. You're doing it all by yourself. And I have found the only thing that works for me is deadlines. I'll set myself deadlines, or I'll get somebody to set deadlines for me. And that really keeps me going at the novels. There's a good author friend of mine says, writers will do anything not to write. Although really in truth, at the back of their mind, this thing is still percolating away. And often you will discover, you know, you're on your cross-country machine or up for a long walk or something, and there. That's how I'm going to move this thing. That gets you back to the computer as well.
And right.
I agree with what Roy said. I really think for the beginning writer, for somebody who's really wanting to just sit down and start, it's really important to remember that writing is a mix of art and craft, and it takes practice. And so it's important to just give yourself the permission to be bad and to really just practice, like just like a musician practices or just like a painter sketches before they actually put paint on a canvas. And over time, it will get better and it will get easier. It really is very difficult to sit down. And I think at the beginning, I really needed that that structure of, and my children were very small, so I got up every day at 4:30 for several years.
Really?
And would start writing at 5, and I would write till 7, because that was the only time in my day, and I decided that I was already tired, so I would just be a little bit more tired. And I really needed that discipline, and over time, and when the story is strong enough and there's enough conflict in the story will pull you out of bed at 4:30 and get you writing it, because you want to know what happened.
Thank you both very much for your time. I appreciate the chance to talk to you this morning.
Oh, well, thank you, Cheryl. It's been fun.
Roy Innes and Darren Collier, two of British Columbia's mystery writers. Check out the website cbc.ca/books. Go to Canada Writes to find out more about the celebration of mystery writing right through the month of May.